Talk Shop. So if you've just tuned in, I want to hear your thoughts on whether or not entities, and these would be public or private sector entities, should be looking at provincial racial demographics when they put together their employment equity plans. I'm joined now on the line by Professor Hugo Pienaar, who is director at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's employment practice. Prof, good evening. Welcome to the Talk Shop.
Thank you, Naledi.
Yeah, I really had to sit down and work my way around this one, because I think that when we talk employment equity, a lot of us haven't started to think about what's happening at a provincial level, right? So let's just get a bit of background and start with the very basics. The Employment Equity Act and what it says. Let's start there about what it says nationally about employment and who's affected.
Yes. Right, now, Lady, the Employment Equity Act starts with a Chapter 2, which prohibits all forms of discrimination. The relevant part which you're referring to, you'll find in Chapter 3, and that is to deal with a designated employer who has a duty to affirm people from designated groups at all levels. Mm. So the purpose is really to have equal representation of all suitably qualified people at all occupational levels at the workplace. So that's the starting point. And, of course, the question is, first of all, who would be those designated employees? And, of course, we know the Act defines that as black people, and that would refer to African, Indian, coloureds, and, of course, Chinese, females, and people with disabilities. So that's the starting point. And you will recall in 2014 we had the Barnard decision, where Barnard scored the highest points for the appointment as of a preferred position within the SAPS, and then was overlooked, and the court said that white females are already overrepresented in that category. Now, this case, the one that you're referring to in the correctional services matter, was, of course, a follow-up on that case. And in this case, the court looked at, in particular, coloured people in the Western Cape. And the first point the court had to decide is whether the so-called Barnard principle, which was applied in respect of a white female, would also apply in respect of other categories such as colored people, African people, and Indian people. And the court said, no, the Barnard principle also applies to them and even to people with disabilities and also with regard to males and females. But what the court then did, it looked at the provisions of Section 42 of the Act, and the Act at that stage said that you must also take into consideration in assessment of compliance the demographic profile of the national and the regionally economic active population.
Yeah,
and of course,
see,
this is where this court has taken it one step further, and the court said the correctional services employment equity plan was limited only to the national demographics and did not consider the regional demographics, and was wrong for that very reason.
Okay, let's take a few steps back and just hear what the issues that were raised by these 10 applicants in this case. What was their issue?
Well, the issue was essentially that they said that they were the better candidates and they had to be appointed, and they said if you look at the region, then we underrepresented in the region in terms of appointments. And if the employer failed to take into consideration the regional demographics and just relied on the national demographics. And for that reason, the employer was at fault.
Right. And these applicants are 5 coloured women, 4 coloured men, and 1 white male that were, what is it, 8 of them were denied appointment by the Department of Correctional Services, who they were overrepresented, according to the department. But again, the department is looking at national geographics, demographics, and not regional. So what I want to know is the lesson here for an employer, because I'm listening and I'm worried about, wait, hold on, I thought I was doing everything I needed to do, especially if you're in, say, the Eastern Cape or the Western Cape. You're already worried about, oh, I might have done something wrong in my employment equity plan that doesn't represent regional demographics.
And you're absolutely correct, Naledi. As an employer, you need to look at both. Of course, we must remember during August 2014, this legislation was slightly amended. prior to that, and remember the court dealt with the Employment Equity Plan of 2010 of the Correctional Services. And at that stage, Section 42 said that the Director General or whoever is applying the law must take the following factors into consideration, i.e. demographic profile of the national and regional economic active people. But what happened after that is the word must was substituted with the word may. Now, of course, the court has not ruled on that clause. It ruled on the clause as it was prior to August 2014. So your question is, what should the employer now do now? And my submission is that the Act says the employer may take this into consideration, and for the sake of fairness and to achieve equitable representation, it is only right that you would also take into consideration the regional economic active population and their representativity at a particular level. And that simply means that if you were to operate in, for instance, KwaZulu-Natal, you would in all likelihood have a higher Indian population as part of your workforce, whereas in the Western Cape, it may be more in terms of the colored people, and of course in the Eastern Cape, you would have more black people represented at each level and category of employment.
Yeah, this is something that I think we haven't touched on enough. So call in if you have questions, especially if you're an employer and you want to know, you know, what is it you need to understand so you don't end up in hot water. The number to call is 0891 104207. But we've touched on the ruling by the Concord, and I think what we should do is just talk about all the steps that these applicants really did go through, right? Initially, it was to approach the Labour Court?
Yes, it went to the Labour Court. Of course, they were partly successful in the Labour Court. They lost their case in the Labour Appeal Court, and it was then referred to the Constitutional Court. What is interesting is that the Constitutional Court never made a ruling that the Employment Equity Plan was null and void or invalid, simply because it said it by that time, by the time the court heard the matter, it ran its course, because it was a 5 or a 4 year plan. I just thought, Naledi, it's also interesting to look at, as far as employers are concerned, where the court again re-emphasized the issue, the principle that we're not dealing with quotas, we're dealing with numerical goals. And, of course, that was another point of attack in this particular case. And the court said the correctional services were perfectly and right entitled to set numerical goals. And they said those did not constitute quotas, simply because the goals were flexible and not cast in stone. The employers must obviously be careful when they set those goals that they allow for flexibility. What is also interesting in this matter is those applicants who were successful were, in fact, either if they were vacant positions, placed in those vacant positions, or compensated, promoted in terms of salaries to those higher positions, and that was made retrospectively. So it has a huge bearing on the employer's cost and finances if they get this wrong. You could just imagine the financial implications if you have 10 or more applicants and they earn relatively high salaries.
Yeah, let's open up the lines. I think what we should do, though, Prof, is, you know, just clarify this quota versus numerical targets issue. I don't want anything to go over our heads, and I know you'll allow me to do that. But let's first hear from Brad in Cape Town. Brad, good evening.
Good evening to you both.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Just a very simple question. Out of the demographics now of national versus regional, as an employer here in the Western Cape, which one wins out? Which one bears the heavier weight in our employment equity plans?
Yeah, that's a good question, Prof.
Yeah, the court is not given that directive in its decision, but certainly said you must take into consideration the regional demographics. So I would certainly first look at regional demographics, and if I'm short on both people, let's say you have a colored applicant and an Indian applicant, and you more or less on par with both in terms of national representativity, I would give preference to the colored person in order to accommodate regional demographics.
Yeah, remember, Brad, the word was may. So the employer may make use of regional demographics, but obviously that's what you'd expect considering what the demographics would look like. Brad, is that it from you?
Yeah, that's it from me. Thank you. It's very helpful.
Thank you. Mark is also in Cape Town. Mark, good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Yes, thanks for calling.
Yes, I just want to refer specifically to the two cases, the one you are talking about, mm-hmm. Correctional Service and SABC a journalist, right?
Okay.
Now, my point is this. When it comes to these people in the upper levels, especially where solidarity and these unions interfering, then it's hunky-dory, everything is okay. But the masses which are on the ground, which are employed by the private sector in the companies, our rights is being undermined. Mm. And nobody is willing to step up to assist those people in the lower classes. So it's all good and well in the upper class employment society. But when it comes to the lower class of people, it is there for them. Thank you.
Is that not the role of, say, trade unions and you know, solidarity type organizations to represent those that feel that their voice isn't sufficiently heard? I want to just take your calls, 0891 104207. We'll take more calls on this discussion. Again, 0891 104207. How much attention are we actually taking or giving to regional demographics when, as employers, you set out your employment equity plan? Are you looking at national representations of various races, or are you actually looking at what's happening and who is in the area, so the province that you are living in? And if we don't do that, what is the true cost of that, right? Surely we don't want anyone left behind. The number to call, 0891 104207. Still on the Talk Shop on SAFM, South Africa's news and information leader. Still speaking to Professor Hugo Pienaar, director at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's Employment Practice. And I'll take more calls on 0891 104207. Before that, though, did you know the fastest way to pay or renew your TV license is with your favorite electronic device? Go to www.paymytv.co.za, make your payment, and then wait for the free rewards page to load or click on axrewards.co.za. Now all you have to do is click on the funeral cover button, download the AxMe app on Android phone, register, and start enjoying free funeral cover to the value of 7,500 rand. T's and C's apply. TV licenses, more rewards making a difference.
Chat, converse, rant, rave, whatever you call it. Do it on the Talk Shop, only on SAFM.
Okay, I'm taking more calls. Governor's on the line from KZN. Governor, good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yes, thanks
for
calling.
I just want to ask a question from the panel. How did the court come to its conclusion in terms of the consensus of the number of people in that particular demographical area under which this employment or the appointments were made? Because if you look at it, if you have Westfield, what demographics would you use in the Westfield Correctional Services?
Mm.
Or how did they come to that particular conclusion?
Okay, Prof.
Right. Well, first of all, there are statistics which come out from time to time on a national basis, and the employers will be entitled to rely on that. The answer to Governor's question. Prior to that, there was a question about the people at the lowest level and what about their representativity. And, of course, if you look at the Act itself, it requires representativity at all levels and categories of employment. So if you overrepresented at the lowest level of categories, then, of course, you may argue that it's not necessary to give preference in those particular levels and categories of employment.
Mm.
And that would certainly be a typical case solidarity can take on. I just thought about during the break, Naledi.
Yeah.
Often when you have contracts in certain communities, and you find that in particular in the mining community, if you're going to open a small mine, for instance, let's say in the Kimberley area, there's a requirement from that local community ordinarily that you'll give preference to their people. So, of course, there's a bit of an overlap in that sense with this legislation.
Mm.
Because the practice simply means that whoever is represented in that community, you will in all likelihood be forced in terms of that practice to appoint people from that particular demographic profile.
Right. Okay, makes perfect sense. Vusi is on the line in Joburg. Vusi, good evening.
Hi, Naledi.
Yes,
Vusi here.
Mm.
Could I ask the prof, I understand there were two a census conducted, the last one being the one of 2010.
11, wasn't now, it?
Yeah, 20, yes. Based on those results, it showed that certain categories of groups have gone down because of migration, and others have increased. Do this equity plan, or does the policy allow this to change over time?
Does what allow this to change?
Yeah, the equity plans, yes. can they be changed over time?
Okay.
Because the groups are changing.
Right. Right. That's a very good question, Vusi. Thank you so much.
Okay, then.
Tommy's on the line in Pretoria. Tommy, good evening.
Hello. I've got this problem that a friend of mine has had a pressure sore for like 8-9 months on his leg, and the doctor said you must keep the leg elevated.
Okay.
Yeah? And so he was concerned, and he just said, I can't go into work until you make this plan, and please get an occupational therapist that has experience in this. And the guy got an occupational therapist who didn't know what the correct angles were and all of that. And so what does he do? And has he got the right to wait at home until they get it right?
Okay, I think that you are slightly off topic, though, Tommy. So I really want to stay on top of it. Yeah, but how does that relate to the Equity Act?
The Employment Equity Act addresses all marginalized groups, women, race, and people with disabilities.
Right.
And it has a concept called reasonable accommodation, which operates in the Papuda Act as well, which is a single term.
Okay.
And so if you do not give reasonable accommodation to your employees, how are you going to meet the national 2% target?
Okay. Yeah, Tommy, thanks for that. Prof, do you want to address Tommy's question first before we go back to Vusi's point?
Right. The first point, you have to look at the definition of disability in order to qualify for that preferential reemployment. And that, of course, is defined in the Act as people who have a long-term or recurring physical or mental impairment, which substantially limits that person's prospects to enter into the market or to be advanced in his employment. So it all, first of all, it will depend whether that person falls within this category or not. It doesn't sound like a permanent or long-term disability, but of course, if it is, the employee can be placed in that category. If not, you can simply be dealt with in terms of the disability benefits of the pension fund or provident fund at the time.
Mm.
When we look at Vusi's question, it's the issue about the employment equity plan. Of course, the Act provides for a plan to be submitted between a 1 and a 5 year plan.
Mm.
And of course, depending on the progress you make in a particular category, or depending on how statistics may change, that will influence your plan. And your plan should have the flexibility in terms of Vusi's proposal to make those changes and amendments.
Hmm.
Of course, if it was simply based on quotas, it would have been much more difficult. But that's exactly the type of flexibility you will require.
Yeah, you mentioned quota again, and I'd asked a question earlier on before we started taking calls, right? In understanding this differentiation between quota and numerical targets, let's just unpack that. In the article that you wrote, in fact, you make reference to the Barnard principle again addressing that issue.
Yeah, what they said in Barnard, and it's again the issue is whether the employment equity plan constitutes a quota or not. And the court simply said that, one of the distinctions to be drawn is that between a quota system and a numerical target is that the quota is rigid, whereas a numerical target is flexible.
Mm.
So you would, for instance, say, level one, I want between year 2 and 5, I want to change my representativity from 4 black females in this category to 8 black females.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a target you set, and then you will have certain qualifications such as depends on the suitability of of people, depends on the turnover of the workforce, and all of that. And all of that may ultimately determine how successful you are in reaching those targets. Of course, those are simply targets set by the employer in consultation with the Employment Equity Committee. I think employers often lack transparency in this regard, and I think employers often lack proper consultation with those employment equity forums, and they don't ensure that there's regular meetings with those forums, similar as what you would have with safety forums. What we've also found is that employees aren't always keen to participate in those forums, and it's sometimes mostly union-driven during a particular time of year where they want a membership drive. But it's really the duty of both parties to ensure that we reach those targets and we address the past of our country and the history of our country in order to ensure equitable representation.
Right. Well, Prof, thank you so much. But wrapping up my discussion with Professor Hugo Pienaar, who is director at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's employment practice. So a few things for employers to think about, and, you know, I'd asked about whether we can actually challenge the constitutionality of using the word may, that we may consider regional demographics over nationals.
I think what they had in mind, and you will recall, Naledi, this transpired after this provision was taken out of the proposed amendments to the Employment Equity Act. And then there was a big uproar, especially from people in the Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal.
Mm.
And after much political debate, they decided to put this particular clause back, but then as sort of a compromise, substituted the word must with may.
Mm.
But I would think that what the intention here is to allow still enough flexibility and employers who take into consideration regional demographics should be okay. I think if you ignore it, you might be at risk. But also remember, there are several factors together with Section 15 that must be taken into consideration here,
mm-hmm.
such as reasonable steps to train suitably qualified people, reasonable steps to implement employment equity plans.
Mm.
And the risk here for employers would obviously be if they've not set reasonable steps, if they've not taken reasonable steps, and they failed to achieve even those targets, and they can give no explanation for that. You also have the possibility of the name and shame campaign, which we've seen originated from Australia and those countries in their affirmative action legislation.
Mm.
But I think ultimately you must be flexible and fair. The purpose of the legislation is to achieve equality at the workplace within reasonable bounds and within reasonable limits.
Prof, let's leave it there. Thank you so much for speaking to us. I think this has been definitely an eye-opening discussion, hasn't it?
No, lady, thank you for your time.
Yeah, such a pleasure. Professor Hugo Pienaar, director at Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr's Employment Practice.